Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
All right, today we're talking with Lieutenant Jim Perez, and he is here to talk a little bit about, crime prevention. He is a crime prevention expert, and Lieutenant Jim Perez, we welcome you. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
We're doing okay. Melissa's here as well. Melissa, say hello to the lieutenant.
Hey, Melissa.
Yes,
good morning.
Of course. Hey, Jim. How's it going for our Crimes on the Mind special every Monday?
All right. Let's talk a little bit about home invasions. Are you finding that home invasions are becoming more common, and victims could be anyone, right?
Well, you know, that's true. And keep in mind that here, specifically in Connecticut, home invasion really came to the national forefront, and even to us with the Cheshire invasion in 2007. It was a horrific circumstance where an entire family was wiped out, except for one person, of course, Mr. Pettit himself. But home invasion is nothing to laugh at. It's really serious. A criminal who goes into your home and finds you by yourself in the home feels secure enough to do whatever they want without having anybody notice on the outside. So what people need to be aware of is that, and you know, it's funny, like I tell people this all the time when they hire a babysitter. I will always tell them, let your babysitter know you are not expecting anybody while you're gone. So if anybody comes to the door, do not answer it. So that's an important thing. The home invasion here that happened in Fairfield happened sort of similarly like that. The individual walked up and literally walked up to the door of the victim. And the victim thought that, unfortunately, it was a landscaper. And he said, yes, I am, you know, just played the game and came inside the house and ultimately robbed her. And thank God she wasn't physically injured or touched. But I can't say the same for other victims. I mean, the reality is that a burglary happens across the country every 4 seconds. So this is according to the FBI and the DOJ, so Department of Justice. So you have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to make your property less prone to be, to make burglars less interested in your property. And there's certain things that you can do, simple things that you can do that. Stop leaving the garage door open all day. Stop leaving a mess around the property, leaving tools and things like that around the property. Your shrubs and your trees should be trimmed. If the bulb of a tree comes down to more than 7 feet, it should be cut to increase natural sight lines. Shrubs and bushes should be no higher than 3 or 4 feet or underneath your windowsill, not over. All these things they make your property less attractive to a burglar. And that's the whole point here in today's segment.
But as you bring up the incident that we recently heard about earlier this year in Fairfield, Lieutenant, and you were talking about that victim who answered the door, I have to be honest, mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of moving parts as a mom and as a wife and just a homeowner in general. Mm-hmm. I will hear the doorbell ring and half the time I'll forget I even have somebody coming to the house or things just happen where somebody will come to ask, did you want us to do bug repellent or something? I don't know, some such nonsense. And I think the way that this woman reacted is exactly how I think I've reacted dozens and dozens of times. So mm-hmm. What would you recommend to people if that doorbell rings, you don't expect someone, or you're that babysitter and someone comes to the door, how do you respond to it? What do you recommend somebody does? Because I think I've been that woman who was the victim a few weeks ago. I've been that person, and I'm surprised that, I guess, that there's something we should do otherwise than answering our door.
Yeah, we have all become that person at one point or another. But I will tell you this, and I tell everyone this. Just like in email scams, if you don't recognize the email, I always say don't open it because you'll end up putting a bug inside your system, inside your computer. It's the same thing here. If you do not expect someone coming, if you did not make prearrangements for someone to come at a specific time, do not answer the door. It's that simple. If a marketer comes up or somebody else comes up, let them knock on a door. If you have a product like the Ring, you can actually talk to them, or a speaker system, you could actually talk to them and tell them, listen, you're not interested and you're not coming to the door because you're busy. So all those things, more importantly, though, than that, is make sure your doors are adequately locked and that they have proper locks. And we can, you know, in a future segment, we'll talk about how to target harden or how to make your home more secure from someone being able to just simply kick the door open.
We're talking with Lieutenant Jim Perez, and he's talking a little bit about crime prevention here. But, you know, Jim, you know, I come from a time where the doorbell mm-hmm. rang and you opened the door. That's the way that it was. And mm-hmm. nowadays, you know, mm-hmm. I know what the doorbell rings. I do the same thing at my house now. I open up the door. My wife gets so aggravated. She goes, "How do you know who's out there? You don't even say who is it. You just open up the door and you're like, hey, you know."
I do too.
Come on in.
I think that's all the time. We all do that. You know.
My mom is good for that. And I remember I got so mad at her a couple of years ago because a salesman actually knocked on the door. It was like 9 o'clock at night. She opened up the door and he was a salesman. Don't get me wrong. But what if he wasn't? You know, it's weird. You know, it really is.
You cannot take that risk. And listen, we are all creatures of habit. So what we do, just like you were talking in the prior segment about seatbelts and the safety of them, for those of us who grew up in that time period where seatbelts weren't really mandated, in fact, they weren't even, you know, they weren't even required or even encouraged, it's very difficult to overcome that habit. And likewise, if you're used to opening doors because you're just used to opening them, I'm telling you right now, that habit will get you injured or killed possibly. And you can't, you just cannot do that. In this day and age, we have to practice crime prevention even more so than ever before. Given the brazenness of some of these actors, so-called, or criminals that decide to commit crimes around us. So we have to, you know, we have a responsibility. You know, listen, the police, I've often said this a million times, the level of service you get in your town, in your particular town, equates how often the residents themselves get involved. The police cannot do everything by themselves. We just cannot do that. But what we can do is we'd love to have a community that's responsive, that's educated with respect to crime prevention, that can actually be great witnesses for us so that we can literally help us solve crime. And that's how we reduce crime, and that's how we make these criminals go away, or at least reduce them from hitting our particular neighborhoods.
And it sounds like there are some proactive ways that you can go about it. If you don't have the money to maybe put in some of the technology you were talking about, Lieutenant Perez, things like the cameras mm-hmm. or having the voice-activated ways of talking to people who are outside your home but you're inside, if you don't have that kind of money or the funds to do that, it sounded like you had some tips as to how you can make your house, I guess, less attractive or just not really get on the radar of attackers. So what are some of the things that people should be mindful of?
Well, here's the thing. Burglars look for easy targets. They're opportunists. So they look for opportunities. They don't want to spend more than 3 to 5 minutes in your home. They want the path of least resistance. And so if you do a couple things, if a garage door is meant so that it opens, if you have one, so that your car can come in or out. People have the habit of leaving the garage door open all day because it's convenient. But you should never choose convenience over security. So shut that garage door when you're done. Stop leaving property hanging around the property. Overgrown bushes and trees are a great sign to the burglar that you just don't care enough about the property, or that you're not there often.
So it's like things like that, from like the outside perspective, especially if they're kind of keeping an eye on you or they're keeping an eye on that neighborhood, you can kind of put a bullseye right on your back, essentially, and that's what it kind of sounds like. So, Lieutenant Perez, I'm so sorry. We always run out of time, but we get the best information from you, our crime prevention expert out of Fairfield Police Department. Thank you so much for this week's edition of Crimes on the Mind. We appreciate it.
Time for a second cup of coffee as another interesting guest joins the show. Here's Tony's conversation piece on WICC 600.
All right. It is 9:51. We are here with Eric Hammerling. He's with the Connecticut Forest and Park Association. Coming up on June 1st through the 2nd, it's Connecticut Trails Day, a big celebration. And he's here to tell us a little bit more about it. Eric, it's a pleasure to have you. How are you?
Great to be with you, Tony. Doing great.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so glad you're here. Connecticut Trails Day, this is something that's been going on for as far back as I can remember.
Oh, yeah. 1993 was the first year, and CFPA has been coordinating Trails Day events since that time. Every year, Trails Day in Connecticut is actually the largest in the country. Trails Day is something that's celebrated nationally on that first weekend of June, and we have more events that take place here than anywhere. Over 250 events happening throughout the state. About 3 out of every 4 towns have something going on, so anyone can find an activity outdoors nearby. hiking, biking, paddling, doing work on trails, educational walks, nature walks. It's something for everyone.
You know, getting back to nature, to me anyway, and if I'm wrong, you tell me, it seems to be something that we're losing touch with at times.
I think so. I think a lot of us get very connected to our phones, our jobs, our, you know, all the things that we're thinking about during the daytime. But what I really enjoy about trails is that's our opportunity to reconnect with nature, and it helps to reduce the tension in our lives. There's a lot of studies that have been done. Students actually do better in school the more time they connect to the outdoors. So, so many positive benefits that we hope people will reconnect to.
Well, it's something that, you know, it clears your head. I think it relaxes you. I think you start to think straight after a couple of hours out there. You know, it's like taking a walk. You know, sometimes it takes a little time to get yourself motivated for that. But once you're out there, you're like, wow, why aren't I doing this more often, you know?
Absolutely. And that's why when people ask questions like, why should we protect open space in Connecticut? One of the reasons is so that we have places to get away from it all, clear our heads, and kind of reconnect, not just to the outdoors, but, you know, some people go into the outdoors to connect to something spiritual, or to somehow get outside of themselves and really find a way to heal their bodies and minds. So it's really important for so many ways to connect to the outdoors. And that's what Trails Day is all about, is really ensuring that as many people as possible in Connecticut have the ability to find places near them to go and walk.
All right. We are talking with Eric Hammerling, and we're talking a little bit about Connecticut Trails Day, the big celebration happening June 1st and 2nd of this year. We're talking over 200 events statewide. He has given me a pamphlet. This is one of the thickest pamphlets I have ever come across. All of the activities in each and every town, where it's happening, how it's happening. And you're telling me that this pamphlet, this isn't even complete. There's a lot more stuff that's going on.
That's right. There's only about 200 events in the pamphlet, but if you go online to ctwoodlands.org and go to the directory of Trails Day events for this year, you'll come across over 250 events. You'll see a map, which will help you to get to events. You'll find out information about the events, like not only what they're about, but whether they're dog-friendly, whether they're easy or challenging, whether you should think about, you know, bringing all sorts of things. You know, those are all included in the write-ups for each of the events. So it will get people to the trailhead, tell people how to register for events. We would really encourage people to go online. But if they are in their local town hall or library, they're also going to come across those great booklets.
What is your great hope that people will get out of this if they do attend?
My hope is that people will go to a place that is new, a place that they've perhaps thought about going but never felt courageous enough to take that first step, because all of the events are actually led by people who are expert in those areas where they're leading the events. It really helps to make it an easy way to connect to the outdoors. So no fear with lots of other people, and a really great way to explore new places.
I bet you a lot of people say to you, I don't know why I haven't done this before.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, in fact, we hear a lot of people who they will collect those booklets from year to year. And, you know, one of the nice things about them is it's not only on Trails Day weekend where there are all these activities going on. If you keep the booklet, you have all these ideas for places you can go going on into the future. And, you know, between this Trails Day and next year's Trails Day, there are so many things you can do.
That's great. That is wonderful. And like we said, it's coming up on June 1st through the 2nd, Connecticut Trails Day celebration. And is there a website folks can go to?
If folks go to ctwoodlands, that's woodlands.org, they can right there find the directory to all of the 2019 events and find a way to connect.
Where are you going to be this week or that weekend, that particular weekend?
Well, I always have at least four events that I'm doing. I'm leading an event at Bushnell Park in Hartford on Sunday evening, and on Saturday afternoon, part of an event at Our Farm Scenic Reserve. The other two I like to keep secret and flexible so that I can find out, you know, where I might be needed on that those 2 days on the weekend. But I always look forward to it. I always bring my son with me. It's a family event and a way to get everyone outdoors.
All right. Eric, one more time. Give us that website so folks can get more information.
ctwoodlands.org, okay. And you'll see the directory right there.
All right. It sounds good. Let's get the people out a little bit. Let's get the air into their lungs. Let's get them moving a little bit. That's what it's all about, you know, and learn a little bit more about nature. Let people know that there's more going on except what's on their cell phone screen, you know?
Absolutely. That's what I look forward to every year.
All right. Eric, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Bill, what about that Monday morning mind melt? What do you got for us?
Well, it might be amazing, but you know that cats have over 100 vocal sounds. Now, dogs only have about 10.
They do? A cat makes that
over
many noise?
Vocal sounds.
Really?
Really? No kidding.
Can we get some examples there, Bill?
I won't be able to do that. I'll be better at the dog ones, but Mocha has about 3 or 4. You know, when I come home, she barks, and it's different. Sounds like there's different dogs in the house, but, you know, there's
right,
only 2. But
my sister-in-law.
But cats, yeah.
My sister-in-law has
Jeter a... Jeter do that?
Jeter, he had... That's all he really had. He
didn't,
you know. But my sister-in-law has a cat. He never utters a sound, ever. I'm talking never, ever, ever. It's amazing. You really don't know that he's around because he never makes a sound. I've never heard him say anything, if that's what they do.
I thought most cats were pretty consistent. Like, it's the same thing. We had one cat who it sounded like he spoke, and he'd be like, ah, rah, rah. But that was it. That was the only sound Kyle made. And to think that they can say 100 things, I don't know. That's crazy.
I know when we had Jeter, he had one sound. When he wanted to eat, he went like this. Meow. When he wanted to go to bed, he went like this. Meow. I mean, that was pretty
consistent, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that was it. But Rocky, who's my sister-in-law's cat, never, ever, ever makes a sound.
Maybe he hasn't spoken to Bill Jackman, because Bill obviously knows that he has 100 options out there.
Yeah, he's got to go for some voice lessons.
There you go. Bill's the cat whisperer.
No. And here's the other mind melt for you. We're getting into that hurricane season, just to let you guys know. You know, in about 10 minutes, a hurricane releases more energy than all of the world's nuclear weapons combined.
Come on. Wow.
Nope.
Wait, that's terrifying. Wait, say that again?
That's how powerful the storms are. And in 10 minutes, a hurricane will release more energy than all of the world's nuclear weapons combined.
It just shows you how Mother Nature is terrifying.
Absolutely. Very powerful.
Yeah, you're blowing my mind, Bill. All right.
It'll make you meow.
There you go. All right, Bill, thanks so much. Bill Jackelman, well, after 20 years and almost 3,000 episodes, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire has been canceled. It premiered on ABC back in 1999 with Regis Philbin, and that's when it was the best, when Regis Philbin was handling it.
Agreed.
Then it moved to syndication in 2002. Meredith Vieira did the bulk of the episodes in syndication. Syndication from 2002 to 2013, and she was good too. I liked her. Cedric the Entertainer and Terry Crews stepped in for a while, and Chris Harrison from The Bachelor has been hosting it since 2015. He'll finish out the current season, and then that's it. You know, 20 years is a long time to be doing anything, so I would say that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire has been a great, great success.
Absolutely. It's just weird to hear you say it. I didn't mean to react like that. I didn't see that headline, and to think that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire started when I was 9.
Mm, there you go.
That's wild, and now it's over. It seems like it just started.
Yeah, no, it was, like I said, it was the best when Regis was doing it.
Regis was the best,
and at that time, I think it was on once a week, and they did it in increments. It was on once a week for like 2 weeks or a month or something like that. Then it went away, mm-hmm. and then it came back for a little while.
It was great, though, Tony, because when he used to do his episodes, if they would do the random, call to whoever seat it was, and then they started it, you know, I remember my brother and I would have to almost set our alarms to make sure we tuned in for the next time, because they would have started the new person and then have to go to a commercial, and Regis would say, oh, our hour's up. We're going to have to pick up with you on the next episode.
Yep.
It was great. I always was a big fan of, I thought that was one of the better game shows that stuck around for a very long time. That one and Family Feud still are, you know, some of my favorites to watch. So.
And no offense, but Chris Harrison is boring.
Well,
he's
the Bachelor guy. He's the Bachelor guy. That's where he's supposed to be. I'm not disagreeing. I haven't watched it, like you said. Honestly, since Regis was gone, it's kind of the same as Kelly Ripa's show. I feel horrible to say that, but I haven't watched Kelly in the Morning since Regis left. I just feel like Regis is such an iconic, amazing man who doesn't age, might I add. He looks the exact same. So anything that takes Regis out of the equation, I start to kind of trail off. So unfortunately, like Kelly Ripa, I haven't watched in a long time. I haven't watched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So I'm not surprised if Chris is awful, only because he's kind of flatlined when he does The Bachelor, too. So, sorry.
Barfest.
Okay.
Something that happened here on this date in history. Do you believe it happened 26 years ago? In 1993, more than 80 million people watched the final episode of Cheers. Now, that makes it the second highest rated series finale ever, just behind MASH and ahead of Seinfeld. One of the greatest TV shows ever was Cheers. I remember we were playing at a little place in New Canaan called Mulligan's. The band was playing, and Cheers came on, and the bartender came over, and they went, "Cool it, guys. Everybody wants to watch Cheers."
That's so awesome. So
we sat there for an hour. It was an hour finale, and we sat there and we watched the final episode. You could hear a pin drop.
I thought you were going to say you were playing at a bar and everybody knew your name.
Well, they all know my name in those bars as well. But yeah, that was 26 years ago. It seems like a blink of an eye.
I know, that's crazy. And Tony, have you've never seen the Cheers bar, like I think where they actually shot it in Quincy Market in Boston. Have you ever seen that?
No, never been there.
It's very cool. I didn't know that it was still, I'm almost positive, if somebody knows better than I do, please correct me. But when we went to Quincy Market, my sister was competing in ballroom, and we went in Boston. This was years ago. And we went down to go meet them from college, and it was very neat because they had what looked like the original bar that's used in that show. And as soon as you walked downstairs, it was that same feel as the beginning credits of that show and everything. So it's very cool. You actually can find it in Quincy Market in Boston. If you go down that way, it's right there, and they have all this paraphernalia and everything. Of course, my mom was with us, and she was just in heaven because she loves Cheers and, you know, always the whole "everybody knows my name" slogan and everything. So it's very neat. You should check it out if you ever find yourself in Boston. It's very cool.
Well, if you can get down there, Cheers will live on forever in reruns. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You'll be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Yeah, you do.